Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, produced by OOT Social Health, where the focus is on exploring the essential elements that drive organizational success, human-centric leadership. Hosted by Adjoa Boahidi, principal of AKB Talent Edge.
Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast. My name is Tiagi Delanerol, and I'm going to be your host today. Today, I'll be joined by Christina Aliak, Global Head of Benefits, Well-Being, and Recognition at Celonis. We're going to be speaking about the neuroscience of well-being, designing employee-centric benefits for global impact. We'll explore Christina's expertise in creating global employee benefits and well-being programs that leverage neuroscience and data-driven insights. This episode will highlight how Christina fosters a human-centric approach to employee engagement, satisfaction, and performance while managing complex global challenges. Now, Christina has over 15 years of experience in employee benefits, well-being, and recognition. As the head of Global Benefits, Well-Being, and Recognition at Celonis, Christina oversees programs for over 3,000 employees across 15 countries. Her innovative human-centric approach integrates applied neuroscience, technology, and data analytics to optimize the employee experience, engagement, and performance. Her passion for understanding the intersection of well-being and employee satisfaction has made her a sought-after voice in global HR transformation. Welcome, Christina, to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So here at the Employee Wellbeing Council, we believe in being human-centric and really centering around the human. So we're going to start off with a couple Proust-inspired questions to really get at who you are as an individual. All right. The very first question is, which talent would you most like to have?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, I think I'll go with being able to dance elegantly and not like a mother's dance kind of thing.
Well, dancing definitely brings a certain level of joy to your life. So that sounds like an amazing talent to have.
Yeah, definitely. I have a very talented daughter. So yeah, that's maybe my envy a little bit.
Oh, okay. Does your daughter dance?
Yeah, she does a lot of ballet.
Okay. Well, ballet is just a very beautiful skill to have. Okay, so if you were to die and come back as a person or thing, what would it be?
Oh, can I come back as myself?
Yeah, why not?
Would love to
round two.
Yeah, exactly. Round two in different times, see what happens. It's helpful to have memories of previous lives or not. I think maybe starting from scratch. So yeah, I'll go for myself.
Okay. So now let's get into your background in well-being and in core HR. As the head of Global Benefits, Well-Being and Recognition, how do you ensure programs align with the diverse needs of employees across 15 countries?
That's a brilliant question. I think one of the reasons why I ended up doing what I'm doing right now is actually I love the diversity across the globe. Through all of my roles in the past, I worked at supporting multiple countries, and it's fascinating how the same program can have different resonance, different interests across different locations, different cultures. At Celonis, yeah, we have, I think actually at the moment, more than 15 countries. We grew slightly. And I would say there is no magic silver bullet. I wish there was. There is no easy answer. The key for me is knowing the client, so knowing your employees. And you can get that information through various different things. I think one hardcore, really cold piece of metrics is just looking at the data, right? So you would have, well, I have access to our headcount demographic data, right? So looking at that, understanding where employees are at in their life cycle, benefits and well-being also tend to be quite linked to the life cycle of employees, right? So if you are early in career and you are just maybe graduated, your interest will be vastly different to someone who is planning or having a family, who then goes into quite closer to retirement. So all of these life cycles play an enormous part in what resonates with individuals or not. So I think that's probably number one. That's a really important one. Knowing what's happening in the market, of course, that's a given, right? So it's benchmark, it's partnering with brokers and consultants, and just looking out for information. Really, curiosity, I think that's really key skill here. Be curious around what's happening in the countries where you're present, kind of keeping on top. And to be fair, it's really hard right now. The development in the space is just crazy. There are so many offerings happening, but I think just keeping an eye, keep abreast of what's happening in different locations, what is popping up, what's the best practice. And I think the other one, talking to the employees, like not being shy to get out and ask questions to the business. I think there is only so much we can get in our roles just by looking at data, looking at benchmark. But actually, I love having face-to-face time with the employees whenever there is an opportunity, even at Christmas parties, other parties, whenever we celebrate, whenever we get together, inevitably there will be a few people that I will ask, what do you think about your benefits and what can we do better and what can we improve? So I think that kind of feedback loop directly from the employees is super valuable. So yeah, I think in a nutshell, that probably, another source of information that tend to be really powerful, because these people generally tend to be standing up for an idea or for a group or for a community, employee resource groups or business resource groups. I think they're named differently in different companies, but so whether it's Pride or whether it's, so at Celonis, we have a number of them, parents at Celonis, women in tech or women in a particular company, the representatives of Asian groups, representatives of Black groups, representative of Latin America. I think they give an incredibly powerful flavor to the benefit offerings, and they can be an incredibly powerful ally in communicating them better. So getting champions that can really help bring benefits to life. I think that, to me, I love working with them, and I think they're an incredibly important part of my stakeholder group.
Wow, that's great. So really, you know, you start off, from what I'm understanding, you start off with data. Then you really move forward to getting more granular with face-to-face, right? Yep. And then you further enrich your information and knowledge and really building those champions through ERGs as well.
Yep.
So fantastic. I love that strategy. Fantastic. Now, you have a background in neuroscience, right? You have, I believe, a master's in applied neuroscience, which informs how you approach employee well-being. How do you feel neuroscience really shapes the benefits programs?
Just a disclaimer, I'm very early on in my neuroscience adventure. It's just something that I've been quite interested in psychology and neuroscience. And in the end, I kind of switched to full neuroscience because it's a little bit more sciencey. I quite enjoy that stuff. And I actually think we underappreciate or don't always correctly directly connect the benefits world, well-being world, because well-being still, I feel, in a lot of situations has this fluffy connotation to it, right? It's like, it's just, you know, we want everyone to be happy. It's not about that. I think well-being ultimately for me is enabling and building a cultural environment within a company to allow people to be their best selves, right? So effectively removing obstacles that sometimes we are faced with without even realizing. And this is where a lot of the neuroscientific studies go in, especially in applied neuroscience. So I guess I can speak about this for an hour, so you can stop me if I need to stop.
No, we're very interested and curious, right, in terms of how you feel it's shaping the benefits programs.
Yeah. So let's start with the environment, right? And that's where we spend an awful lot of time at work. It's what, a third of our lifetime, effectively, or waking life. If you look at that, surely our work environment will have positive or negative impact on our mental health, well-being overall. We can't dispute that. At the same time, so when I started learning applied neuroscience, the main focus was around mental illness, actually. So that's the starting point. It's tackling very serious and understanding very serious mental health conditions. But then as I went deeper, actually, for me, the question arose, well, the mental health conditions are actually on the rise. If we look at global population, right? So 4% of global population suffers from depression. That's a huge number of people. It's, I think it translates in about 300,000 million. Yes, I think that's around right. And then when we look at the younger demographic, and these are actually our future talent, right? So people from 18 until 25, the stats are actually getting even scarier. So if I'm correct, and I do believe I'm correct, more than 30% of people in that age group report symptoms of common mental health disorders. For example, anxiety, depression. And we can't ignore it. Of course, we can say that, you know, all of that stuff, we are much better at now diagnosing, and therefore the diagnosis goes up. But at the same time, we can't turn away from the challenge that we have. And things like depression, as an example, they might have a huge impact on not just the your productivity at work and how good you come across at work, but on your life in general, right? And linking it back, we spend an awful lot of time in the office or working. So I do think we should somehow, employers should think about how do we, at the minimum, don't break people, at the best case, make them thrive. I think we have a huge toolkit, which we don't fully use. So to get to answer you, whether that's my preamble to kind of my way of thinking. So I guess we are all human. Going back to you, actually, very, very start of this conversation, right? You look at the very human way of looking at companies and employees being part of them. And I think it all boils down, even in your scientific research, all boils down to really, really core areas of our life. And I think if we as employers tackle those and help people improve those, I think that already would be a good start. So what I'm talking about, things like having a sense of community and belonging. So now the kind of this whole theme around diversity, inclusion, and belonging, it really helps to create a really safe environment where you feel like you're part of something bigger. Here you can also tie in purpose. So what are we doing together? How can we rely on each other together as a team, as individuals that are working towards the same goal? I think that is really important. And actually, I am not a huge fan personally of 100% return to work, where companies like put a stamp that you have to be in the office five times a day. I think flexibility is really, really key here. But at the same time, being present with your colleagues and having that common shared time together is an amazing tool to enhance your well-being, actually. So that's one example. The other, I would say it's a no-brainer, and everyone knows this, but we are all sometimes challenged in time and circumstances to do it, physical activities. So what do we as companies do to give and create space and time for people to stay physically active? Being able to take breaks to go for a walk in the middle of the day, it has huge impact on the mental health, especially taking yourself out in the nature, if you can, if it's something green and leafy, just observing it. I think that's known and has proven to have incredible calming effects, especially if there are situations during the day when it might be stressful, it might be sometimes, you know, we all face conflict or what we perceive as conflict. So just taking yourself out into the outside world is incredibly effective, but also keeping that physical activity from working out. So whether it's, I mean, it doesn't have to be gym, it can be, again, walking, running outside, it doesn't have to cost anything. mental health support, right? So we, I think naturally we kind of go get sometimes ourselves into positions when it's a little bit too late. So here, I think communication from companies is quite important. What tools are available to the employees to actually prevent burnout or recognize the signs of it? I've held multiple sessions with the employees and our partners, so benefit partners, around different topics on that particular front, to just educate them, to stop and think and kind of realize, oh, okay, actually, I do have certain triggers, and maybe next time they happen, I'll behave slightly differently. So it's a little bit rewiring. But also enabling people leaders. I think we don't do it enough still, I believe. There is a lot of work. They're the front and center for the employees. They're the first line of support. So they kind of get a double way. They have to be strong for their employees and provide support, but they also need support, right? So how do we enable that? I think that's incredibly important. And then two of my, I think two favorite topics of mine is recovery and lack of appreciation for the need for recovery to really have a high performing organization and team or individuals. And recovery can really vastly differ. So it's sleep, right? The importance of sleep. Sleep is such an incredible tool. And I must say, I took it maybe for granted before I started my studies, but actually, once you realize that actually a lot of what happens in sleep is not just the passive time spent. Mm-hmm. Our brain literally detoxes whilst we sleep. There are all the things that we accumulate during the day, and there is a certain debris that's effectively left in our brain during the day. All of that happens whilst we, so the removal of that happens whilst we are sleeping. So it's not just passive time. Actually, it's quite an active period of time for the brain. We just don't get involved in that actively physically.
Yeah. The rest of our body is paralyzed, but our brain is detoxing hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So having into habit of having good sleep, enabling the good sleep, very, very vital. But then there are things during the day that we can do, right? So it's setting boundaries and communicating them around when we take time off. I don't know about you. I am guilty of that. When I go on time off, I do check my emails. I do check my phone. And I must admit that the most exciting and creative times when I had time off and when I genuinely had creative ideas that I have translated into work later on were during the time when I had no connection to my work. I completely switched off. I was like off grid. And I think we all need to get ourselves into a habit of doing that. And also, like, the passions. There are situations sometimes when I catch myself and think, God, I have nothing to talk to my husband other than work, and that's really sad. So kind of finding those moments and things outside of work that really interest you, that kind of get the juices going, and that's very, very important. Like, I guess it's the balance, right? So not just spending all your time dedicated to just one thing. We do have to find that balance. And all of that, effectively, what it does, if you manage to find that balance, it really helps to actually optimize your focus. And we have to be really, I think the one of the saddest things that happened over the past 10 years is with the use of mobile phones and technology, as much as technology is amazing and great, but I think we forgot that we should control technology and not the other way around. So it's getting into this habit of really be very, very strict with your time and using it purposefully and kind of almost shaping your day, designing your day to achieve the most and removing all the kind of noise around you. So, and that is notifications and scrolling and like I say, I'm guilty of it too, but I'm really, really, over the past few months, I've been really trying to be very rigid almost with myself. I actually removed all of the notifications from my phone, and it's so liberating. It was petrifying. I think I had withdrawals. But after a while, you think, oh, my God, that's so nice not to be completely bombarded all the time with, I don't know, messages and pings. And so I only have like dedicated time when I go and check them, for example. It doesn't mean that I don't check them ever. It's just I have really specific time during the day when I go and look at them. And then I can actually action on them much better and much more efficiently. So all of this, I think it does need work. I'm not saying it's easy, and it, a lot of it sounds like common sense, but sometimes we just don't do it. We kind of go with the flow and we let the, you know, the bad habits creep in and we kind of go with that. So all of that, I think.
Well, first, I mean, really a lot of times in terms of changing habits, right? First, we got to recognize some of what we need to change. So we got to recognize that things like sleep, for example, and things like hobbies and things like getting out into nature, once we know that this is important, and then we can take steps to implement. So I loved, you know, you are touching on another question that we have, which is around strategies. You've shared a number of strategies right now in terms of how we could truly thrive, right? And find that joy in our work by making sure that we have space for other accommodations in our lives as human beings. So that's fantastic. We're going to talk a little bit now next about innovation and benefits and well-being. How do you incorporate technology and automation into your benefits programs to enhance the employee experience?
Oh, technology, the good and bad of it, right? Technology can make, and it's so interesting actually to think that still, so thinking about benefits tech, for example, benefits admin tech, when I started at Cisco, Cisco was one of the first companies that rolled out technology across multiple locations for benefit administration. And that was a wow. And it's interesting to see still that it's not every single company has it, right? And it's almost like the consumer world has moved on so much. And in benefits, it's still relatively slow development. I mean, there are more and more companies that come into the space. I think it's great. It's great to see variety. But to me, technology really helps on two fronts. Or maybe actually three now. Now with the more availability of AI and how AI is going to structure, it's probably three. But one of them is creating that employee experience that can get close to what we're getting as consumers elsewhere, right? So there are so many studies that have shown that employees still, to the most of it, don't know what benefits to the full extent that they have in companies. And the reason for it really is we tend to use benefits in a very, life need moment, right? So something, I don't know, something doesn't work in my body, only then I think, okay, I have medical insurance, so I'll go and see a doctor. So it's still, I don't think employees see it very proactively. So, and when you get to use the benefits, a lot of the times it's still relatively clunky. It's technologies that have been put together probably 10 years ago or so. So it's not always as great experience as it can be. Especially if you don't have technology, then it's probably very paper-based and quite consuming in terms of time. So I think it really helps to create a much better experience, much better communication, put benefits to the front and center and become visible, and start engaging employees in that. And then from HR perspective, it's an incredible administrative productivity tool, right? Because it helps to automate a lot of the reporting that needs to happen in each country. So we talk about global workforce. Each country has their own specific requirements, and not just country, but then you split it into multiple brokers or providers. All of them have their own needs in terms of how the data needs to get to them, or vice versa, how they can communicate the data to us or to our payroll. So all of that can be automated with the help of technology, which is an amazing productivity hack. So huge, huge fan of technology in that space. With AI, I think that's super exciting, actually. A lot of the things that used to need a human being to respond, so whether it's support, what policy do I have, how do I make a claim, etc., all of that can soon, and it is already happening. I don't think it's mainstream yet, but it will be available as part of AI chatbots, right? So they all they need is just training. It's going to be amazing, I think. I'm very excited for that part. And with AI, I am expecting that there will be some much more enhanced capabilities around data analytics. So another challenge actually that we have right now within benefits, a lot of the data is very disconnected, right? You get like utilization report from one provider, then the other, then you have to collate it all, then you have to combine it with headcount and demographical data to kind of try and make sense. Not always it's still possible, right? So I'm hoping that with AI, it will be a much easier, quicker, less painful process for everyone.
Yes, absolutely. I can see, I can see how the chatbots in particular, right? They will definitely help streamline a lot of the knowledge transfer. And it's great to see how there could be multiple different databases, multiple different data sources that ultimately are connecting and provide that seamless experience, which is fantastic. So I think, go ahead.
Yeah. My own concern, I think, and that's what I wonder whether it's going to be cracked. Two things, actually. I think there is still a little bit of a trust issue with AI chatbots, right? Mm-hmm. So are they trained well enough not to make mistakes? I think because benefits are really personal to people. And if you get the wrong advice and you follow that advice, in some cases, it might have catastrophic impact, right? It's like you're going to a provider that's actually not covered by your medical insurance, and then you have like your bill potentially so high you can't cover it. I think that is worst case scenario. So I think there is still trust, but I do think with time it will be overcome. The other challenge I'm seeing is about data privacy, right? So how do you know that your data, especially as you're trying to connect multiple data points, how do you know that it's all protected not to pinpoint a particular individual? So I think these are the big kind of still questions in my mind. But the possibilities are amazing.
And who knows, the robots are coming too, right? So far it's chatbots, but the robots, we know that there's definitely some companies out there that are working on the physical bots that are going to further assist us. All right. Well,
sorry, another tech, and I'll divert from benefits, can I? But that's the...
Yes, absolutely.
The real passion of mine, tech in neuroscience. So the neurotech, let's call it that, that's coming up. And at the moment, it's coming as a consumer-grade product, right? But actually, if you think about it, so mental challenges like ADHD, like depression, like lack of focus, for example, there are already some wearable tech that is being tested or tried to overcome those challenges. And with time, and we've heard about Elon Musk's Neuralink, right? The chip that can get into your, in your brain, and then it kind of stimulates particular parts. And even, I would say, the most amazing thing, and I wonder whether it will ever increase, a little bit like from Severance. I don't know if the listeners know what Severance is. It's the film or series on ITV player. There are companies that are now playing with thought to text applications. So I can think something and then the technology will respond and it can send a text. You can even visualize, if I'm not correct, but visualize someone's dream based on the electric waves in your brain. So that is really fascinating because then you go into really sci-fi area and how this tech will impact the productivity and the performance of our brains and what can be achieved longer term. I think this is a fascinating, completely area that is crazy.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I wonder how it could also likely stimulate creativity, right? Because there's a lot of, science around how when you're, just coming out of sleep, when you're in that particular realm, there's a certain level of creativity that oftentimes happens, right? And so many interesting advancements in various different fronts, leveraging various types of technologies. It is quite an exciting time we're in right now.
Oh, right? It absolutely is. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So You are also at the intersection of well-being and recognition. So how is recognition a key part of your role? How do you connect recognition programs with well-being initiatives to create holistic employee experience?
Yes, recognition is one of the major parts actually for well-being. So again, there are a number of studies that connect, make a correlation between the two. If you're recognized, you feel that your well-being is much better. I don't know how to say it.
No, absolutely. It's enhanced, right?
Absolutely. So what we've tried... Sorry for interrupting.
No, go ahead.
So what we've tried to do is really, again, going back to the human interests. So what makes us feel recognized? That was kind of the initial question, I guess, that we posed at Solonis a few years ago when we were looking at the recognition. And really, what we wanted to do on multiple fronts. So one of the things we really wanted to recognize exactly the human being behind some of the milestones that in employees' life, and the one that we picked was having new family. So Solonis has a relatively young demographic, and what we found is that the 75% of our workforce either is planning to have a family soon or will be having a family with us for the first time, if we are talking about children, during their tenure at Solonis. And we really, really wanted to connect with those moments to make sure that the new parent, I mean, it's a stressful time being a first-time parent as it is. So what we wanted to do is support them in the way that we wanted them to feel supported, but also make it just a nice experience. So that's one of the programs we looked at it from a kind of from straightforward, I guess, parental leave policy. So we reviewed that, we enhanced it quite significantly, but not just that, and look at the whole kind of the whole end-to-end, I guess, experience. And that's not to say that we've stopped, we are continuing to develop it, but things like when mothers are returning into work, they most of the times they take a substantial amount of time from work and your life really dramatically changes. So enabling them and having sessions with them around how do you structure your new reality really whilst coming back, getting them to think about what makes it easier for them to work, what conversations do they need to have with their manager, maybe with their team colleagues, etc. Having a very cute little addition we did was a baby gift box we send out to the new parents, which has like a little bit of materials around the benefit programs, what support is available to them, and also some gifts for the children. So looking at it from, and generally I would say with recognition and benefits and well-being, whenever I do work, I always try and think what emotion are we trying to achieve by doing something, right? And that basically the emotion for our parents was we want to make them feel really, we want to make them smile and feel looked after and cared for. I think that was one. And then on the other hand, what we were doing is there was Solonis not being a really old company. We started having employees that had been with the company for a substantial number of years, and we wanted to recognize that loyalty and the fact that they've built Solonis to what it is right now. So a program we rolled out last year is 10-year recognition. And here what we try to tap into is, okay, what would our employees value the most? And two things we've picked there is some time off. So Selenauts who celebrate their special anniversary, they get a choice, either paid time off, and it's basically time to recharge. Solonis is a really ambitious and very fast-paced company. People dedicate a lot of time and hours and energy. And like I mentioned, recovery is very, very important part for success in the future to prevent burnout. So time off was very key, and it's paid time off. The other option was, and that is building on the kind of on the theme of building connection and communities and having a purpose. We give an opportunity to work from any Celonis office globally to get that cultural experience. And that happens for a week, so employees can go out for a week. But that gives them, again, exploration. So you can go and explore a different country that you might not have, you know, an opportunity to go to or haven't had an opportunity to go to. Build connections with your colleagues. Have curiosity around going there, getting cultural experience. I think that's all very, very important. And the third part of our recognition program is around spot recognition. So it's more probably more program that's tailored for the impact that you make at Celonis. And this is really, really linked to our leadership principles. So it really is linked to the purpose of the company and what behaviors we are trying to instill in Celonauts and celebrate them, really. So I would say these three pillars are quite, have distinct flavors, but all of them are linked to the human being behind them, right? And that was very key for us to nail down, is what does actually motivate our workforce.
I love that. I feel like you're approaching it from a very thoughtful perspective. And it sounds like you have a really good handle on, you know, your workforce, what's important to them, and how they can feel valued and recognized. So we're towards the tail end of our conversation, Christina. Thank you so much. We want to end things off by asking you, if you can rewind time and you're back to your early 20s, what piece of advice or wisdom would you give your younger self?
It's dangerous. I'd say, I would say, be bolder. That's what I would say to myself. I think it took me a while to you know, actually, the saying that I've been living for the whole of my life is nothing is impossible. And I genuinely do believe it. With enough thought and enough effort, each one of us has the potential to achieve a lot of things. I think a lot of, in my youth, I myself limited my own thinking in certain ways. So if I could go back in time, I'd say to myself, Christina, if you want to go and open your own company, go and do it. If you go and want to go and travel across the world, go and do it. So I'd say be bolder.
Be bolder. Yeah. And nothing is impossible.
Exactly, right? That. Yes.
Okay. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, Christina, speaking with you, getting to know you, learning how you're approaching building your various programs, and really taking that human-centric approach. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been great chatting, and I hope the listeners will find it somewhat inspirational.
I'm sure they will.
Thank you for joining us on the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, brought to you by OOT Social Health. We hope today's conversation has sparked new insights and inspired you to prioritize well-being in your journey to organizational success. Remember, when well-being ignites, well-doing follows. Stay tuned for more episodes as we continue to explore the power of human-centric leadership. Until then, be well and lead with purpose.